Pod Culture, episode 352, Geek Spin. This episode of Pod Culture is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 100,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of Pod Culture. Our continuing mission to explore geek things, to seek out new candies and new soda pop, to boldly go where no nerd has gone before.
Hey there, gang. This is Brad, and I'm flying solo during the open this week. Christina was out of town, well, heck, out of the country for the past couple of weeks, and with our usual recordings falling on Black Friday, we just chose to take the week off. But fear not, we still have a show chock full of all new stuff for you. First off, we've got a couple of deleted scenes from a TARDIS Interruptus recording in Studio B, a.k.a. the living room, where we stray off the topic of Doctor Who a bit and on to another favorite show of ours, Star Trek. The Guild takes stage with I'm the One That's Cool, and then in an unaired Guilty Pleasure segment from the vaults, Glenn tells us about Last House on the Left. Cy Fried shows up to share the song PX75309, followed by some interesting outtakes during a Pod Culture recording that was fueled by the infamous Fireball. And then finally, the pilot episode for the all-new Pod Culture Geek Spin. We've had a lot of fun recording stuff for this. Let us know what you think. And here we go.
Star Trek 5.
Yeah, well, you know what? I like Star Trek 5. Now, bear with me here.
Yes,
It's not without its flaws. But
the best rock monster.
See, that's the whole thing with the whales.
I think there are some things in it. The campfire scenes I like because it shows them being tight like they are. I like the fact that they actually got off the ship and did things like the raid. They did on the planetary raid at Nimbus 3. Okay. Get Sulu out shooting phasers. You got Uhura singing and dancing naked. Who doesn't love that? The whole idea of there being some kind of god thing, brainwashing people to come see me to free me off this planet. The idea of Cybok was cool, except that it was Spock's brother. There were a lot of good things I thought in Star Trek 5, but it was ultimately disappointed, but a lot of good stuff was in it.
It's got some great lines.
I think that, you know, when they let Robert Wise go back and do a recut of the motion picture, add some stuff, take some stuff out, redo the special effects, clean it up, it made the motion picture a much better movie.
A little bit, yeah.
And when they went around to go back to do them again, like the other special edition DVDs, when it got time for Star Trek V to go into pre-production for the DVD, Shatner asked for the same consideration. Hey, can I have some money so I can fix my movie? Because it wasn't done the way I wanted to do it either. Mm-hmm. And Paramount said, no. Because the biggest letdown with the movie, apart from some of the dumb humor, was the really crappy effects that Paramount imposed on Shatner, saying, you know what? We haven't got the money. We're going to cut your budget back. The fans won't care.
There's a lot of early CG.
I mean, if you're a big of a Star Trek enthusiast, I know these books are out of print, but there's a making of book that Bill did with his daughter Liz called Captain's Log, the making of Star Trek V. It documents a lot of the problems he had getting the movie made. If you read the novelization, which is based on the script, the original script, things like that, you'll see that there was a lot of really good stuff in there that he was not allowed to do because they cut the money. The end, instead of this being this little cloudy looking effect face shooting stuff out of its eyeballs, it was nothing like that. It was big. It was monsters. It was gargoyles. It was a chase. It was big. It was effects. It was a really big finish that was cut down to a head shooting sparks out of its eyes. The whole cast is fantastic. Love the movie.
I don't like the look of the bridge.
Well, that's just an aesthetic. I'm cool with it.
Because it's dropping all that fake lens
there. It still feels like Star Trek, and the cast have got it.
Zachary Quinto was eerie.
Uh-huh. Carl Urban, yeah, he's the awesome guy. Carl Urban, even more so. As McCoy. I mean, everybody is fantastic. And the story was very, very Star Trek. And you guys have known me a long time, know how I know about Star Trek. Yeah. I'm very possessive about it, mm-hmm. and I can be very critical about it. So, in all modesty, if I can sit back and say, you know what, this is fucking brilliant.
Found out that,
everybody should take heed to that. It is fucking brilliant.
They did a good thing by making it an altered timeline rather than rebooting the series.
Because it doesn't ignore Captain William Shatner's era. It doesn't throw it away. It doesn't contradict it. It's a whole different plane of existence. So what we grew up with is just as real as what they're doing now, because they're different times and different directions. It's brilliant. Unlike Enterprise, we're going to rewrite history to up in our show, which I had a real problem with.
Yeah.
God, we should be seeing Ferengi. We should be seeing Borg. We should be looking at Romulus. It's not supposed to happen. They were very, very clear about that.
I thought of it as this. If you look at Enterprise as a prequel to the 2009 movie rather than the original series, it works better.
Following that parallel.
Yeah. If you look at Enterprise as coming before the 2009 movie, then
it could make sense.
Yeah, it could make sense because they still has a different design ethic. Mm-hmm. It looks older than what the 2009 movie was. Right, whereas Enterprise,
if everything changed, then you can possibly see Romulans face to face because they saw Romulans in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they didn't go that far back in time to have those changes that were already done. So that,
well, I'm trying to think of when time wise, because I gotta sit and watch again and make notes. Because when the Narada came through, there was a long period of time because they cut things out of the movie to where Nero and his people were imprisoned on Rurapente. So I gotta look at the timeline and see how long that was to see when that could have happened.
Yeah, I don't think
it probably won't fit.
It doesn't fit. But if you look at Enterprise as being that, then it works a whole lot better.
If I could ignore all the inconsistencies, Enterprise wasn't a bad show. But the problem was they undid all that history.
The Ferengi was the worst. I
Romulans are the worst because it was very clear. In the Bounce of Terror episode, that we have never seen a Romulan face to face. That way, when Mark Leonard's face appears, and they all look at Spock like, what the fuck? It means something, because they had no idea. So that was the worst.
Actually, you know what the biggest problem I had with Enterprise?
Catch this at all.
The biggest one? The finale. The last episode.
I saw it. I don't even remember it.
Because it was a fucking next-gen holodeck episode.
Oh.
It was a next-generation episode.
Which means it was a rehash. It was born
season.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. What happened was it was.
I can't remember now.
It was between scenes in the next episode where they find that ship that was like had the Riker was on that was testing the cloaking device. It got phased into the side of a planet or something like that.
Yeah, I remember Riker and Troy being in it. And the finale.
Yeah, but the episode, there was a Next Gen episode where Riker had been in his path on this ship that was testing a cloaking device.
That was a great episode.
Yeah. It was like a missing scene from that episode, you know, where Riker had to end up telling Picard what was going on. It was him talking to Troy about this, and she's telling, you know, do something like this.
Did they do
on the holodeck, think it out, and he goes and finally see Chef.
Oh yeah,
and he's playing the part of Chef in the holodeck.
Hello there, children.
Not that Chef.
I wanna make love to you, woman. I'm gonna lay you down by
the fire. So
how are my little crackers doing today?
Just
chilling.
they had Dad, you make a decision.
Well, you said chef. I mean, you know, what am I supposed to think?
Because apparently, you know,
hey, everybody, have you seen my balls in there? It's all brown. If you ever need a quick pick me up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Ooh, suck on my salty chocolate balls. Put them in your mouth and suck them.
Make a run to the dairy aisle. We're back with a little Guilty Pleasures, and Glenn, you got a hunk of cheese for us this time.
Yeah, this is a strong cheese today. It's rather pungent.
Celluloid fromage.
I'm going to start out with something a little lighter here, and that is, I got an email. I actually got an email to me.
Yay!
About Guilty Pleasures.
Oh, really?
a listener named Greg wrote in.
Hi, Greg.
And he Howdy. Says, I'm going to paraphrase here, but he says, hi, Glenn, love the podcast, and have a story about a found guilty pleasure of mine. Says when he was a kid back in the early 70s, he remembers a movie that really scared him. He didn't remember what it was about or what the title was or hardly anything about it. He was probably 10 or so when he saw it on the local chiller theater type show. And it was on a late Friday night. And all he remembered was a scene where people were out in the woods and there was an evil, satanic park ranger that was attacking one of the girls. The scene, he reached for her face and some huge, satanic-looking giant ring was on his finger. And he was leaning towards her, contorting his mouth. And it was really weird. And it stuck with him for 40 years.
Aww.
He said he was watching a movie the other day, and his wife made him pause it, and so he was flipping around on Netflix, and on a whim started watching Cheesy Horror Trailers Part 1.
Oh, no.
Can't go wrong with that, right?
That's right up your alley, man.
Oh, yeah. And said the second one it showed was that movie. The movie,
oh,
he'd always
gosh.
Wondered what it was, and there it was on Cheesy Horror Trailers. And he said... what's even better was he found it on Hulu and was able to watch the whole movie.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a 1970 movie called Equinox, which sounds familiar, but I don't think I've actually seen it. So that's kind of interesting. So it didn't scare him this time, but it was some of the most cheesy fun he'd had in a long time.
Thank God. And, I love that.
He said the crazy story reminded him of Lovecraft stories or the Evil Dead movie. And had claymation tentacles and giant ape creatures and cackling old men in caves. And, of course, the park ranger named Asmodeus.
Oh.
So he recommends that I check it out, that I'd probably like it too. And he says, thanks again to you, Brad, Christina, and Adam for the podcast. And I love the Guilty Pleasure segments.
Thank you.
So thank you very much, Greg. I don't get much mail. I get lonely. My inbox is empty. But I really appreciate it. I'm glad you liked the segment. And now that you've talked about all the fun, and I try to do fun movies. They're cheesy and fun. And so, naturally, I'm going to depart from that this week. This movie is no fun.
Robo Vampire 3?
No. Oh. Robo Vampire is fun. This is no fun. I'd heard about this movie for a long time. I'd never seen it. They recently did a remake. And I found the original in the $5 bin at Walmart.
Oh, you know? The redneck feeding trough.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, I dove in there and pulled it out with my teeth. Yeah.
Ew.
Like hope bobbing got, for apples.
Hope you got a rabies shot. Yeah.
This apple had razor blades in it. All right. This is The Last House on the Left. A lot of people may have heard of this.
Is that left or stage left?
It's left.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the collector's edition, unrated.
Ooh.
Written and directed by Wes Craven.
Ooh.
Yeah, very cool. Big name, Wes Craven, right?
Yeah.
I love revenge flicks. And there's something special about 70s revenge flicks. They're just so gritty and real.
Hardcore.
Just, yeah, they're hardcore
was,
believable. I think that was early 80s.
Okay.
Last House on the Left. I had not seen it. I have not seen the remake. I picked it up. And the best thing I can say about it is the documentary footage, the making of stuff, the behind the scenes, the interviews with the people is fantastic.
Huh.
It's really amazing to look at the making of this movie and what it was at the time and what it almost was. And just hearing Wes Craven talk about, he didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Wow.
I mean, he got started editing together basically kind of trailer type things. And he got fired because he edited some really important footage out of order. And he was like out of work when it came up to the opportunity to write a horror movie. Some investors had some money and wanted to make a horror movie. And so he sat down and wrote one, and then they went out and shot it. And I was saying earlier, documentary, because the stuff just all looks so real, and this especially has just a real feel to it which I, like I said, a lot of the 70s stuff did. But in this one in particular, I found out the camera crew was a documentary camera crew. That's all they had ever shot before.
Interesting.
They had never shot a movie. None of them had ever shot a movie.
That's why it was framed and stuff the way that was. And
it comes across a lot more like a documentary.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it really added a lot of realism to it, which is probably a little too much realism because of the subject matter. Mm-hmm. This movie is unrated. Apparently, in the original script, it was going to be an X-rated horror film. Straight up X-rated. Then they started shooting it and decided, you know, this can be something more than that, and we don't need to really go there. But as far as the violence, because of the realism, I mean, it deals with very mature subject matter. Basically, the movie's been out since, what, 72? So if you don't know the plot, I'm going to spoil it for you. The plot, the twist, is the neat thing that I've always wanted to see this because of the twist. And that is, there's a girl. She ends up getting raped and killed. And the gang of people that does this to her end up on the run. And they take refuge in the last house on the left, which happens to be her house. Her parents are there. She's missing. They find out she's dead. They recognize that they're the people that did it. So it's a very different revenge flick.
Okay, instead that's of, my kind of revenge flick.
Instead of, you know, someone getting revenge on something that happened to them, the parents get to creatively kill the people that, you know, harmed their daughter. So
interesting.
Sounds all right to me.
Yeah, very, very neat concept. Like I said, very, very, you know, horrifically really done. They did a great job with it. The bad guys, you really hate them. And the girls seem, you know, really nice and innocent. And they talked about just how the main girl, how scary it was for her. She'd never done a movie, and she's out in the field with these people, and they act like they're going to rape and kill her and stuff. And they're like, you know, at some point you kind of wonder if she's really acting or if she's really that scared, because this could end up being a snuff film. She's out in the middle of nowhere, you know.
Oh, and my God.
Just the realism of it, you know, to that point. It's kind of disturbing. So I could see why this would be, would have been a very disturbing film back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the funny thing about it is I posted, it's been a couple weeks ago now, on our Facebook page, mm-hmm. on the Pod Culture Facebook page, a link to a Siskel and Ebert show. They apparently did two specials. Their show was called At the Movies. They did two specials called Guilty Pleasures. I had no idea. But they did, and in that they review some of their guilty pleasures, movies they love that are probably not for everyone. And I always thought it was hilarious. And the reason I posted it was because Roger Ebert was a big fan of Inframan, of all things, which I love Inframan. I've reviewed it. I mentioned it on the show before. He did a review of Inframan. One of his other guilty pleasures was Last House on the Left.
That's twisted.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, of course, one of Gene Siskel's guilty pleasures was Emmanuel. So, there you go.
Wow.
yeah, it's just weird that... but, you know, he even said, you know, the brutality of this... Most movies were like the old Westerns, where you shoot somebody and they grab their chest and fall over. You didn't really see the brutality of...
Right.
Of what this horrible violence is like. But in this, you know, people are stabbed repeatedly or killed any number of ways. And you know, there's a look of real horror. The people don't die instantly, you know. And after they're dead, the people are kind of standing around with blood on their hands, you know. It's
right.
There's a realism you just don't see in movies.
Wow.
I don't know. It's worth the price of admission, in my opinion, just for the interviews that are extras on the disc, and just hearing what it was like for them putting that together and not knowing what they were doing, and that time in history when this all happened, and to look at Wes Craven and what he's become now.
Right.
And all the things he's been involved with, and then look at his humble beginnings there.
Wow.
So, like I said, it's still an old, old rare movie or whatever, but not quite the campy fun that most of my movies are. So a little disclaimer there.
40 years.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Damn, I'm old.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, you are.
Yay. You're older than I am.
Not by that much.
About a year and a half.
So, yeah, Last House on the Left, once again, my standard disclaimer, don't recommend it to everyone, but, you know, if you're a fan of horror films or revenge flicks or just like to see a piece of American cinematic history, you know, can't go wrong with The Last House on the Left.
Right.
And if anyone's seen this one and seen the remake, you might let me know what you think of it.
I wonder, yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Well, and we will be back with more pod culture right after this.
Ha! Hot damn.
Yeah, that's good shit.
Wow.
See, I'm not wasting my vacation
time. Might get
time
in trouble with that.
Drinking.
Yeah. It's easy.
Yes. To do. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That, ooh, the first time that hit the throat, I was not
expecting
the burn.
Tasty,
the burn
tasty
of just thing throwing it back was...
See, it burned less when I took a sip than it did when I did the whole shot.
Oh, yeah.
See, I almost teased you at the beginning of this. I was going to say, it's almost full. You know what that means? Pumpkin!
Oh, pumpkin whiskey.
I didn't. I tried.
I don't even think. Yeah, pumpkin whiskey. I called Heine Brothers and they don't have cider yet.
Okay. I had to do that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's better than Jones Soda.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can do that.
I'm good.
Did you again?
What if it had been country ham whiskey?
He's gonna
oh!
Oh, no.
We've been blowing chunks.
Chunks of ham.
Lots of chunks of tumbleweed.
Oh, my God.
Chunks of tumbleweed.
Can we kill it by the end of the show?
I would think so.
All right. We'll work on that.
Yeah.
And I intend on doing this right after the open, so anything that we do is a running gag. Because I know that this thing is like...
It's going to come up. Yeah.
I hope it doesn't come up.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, well, yeah.
It'll make things more interesting.
This year, nobody got sick. Ray didn't get markered.
Every time I see one of those on Facebook, I wonder if that's him. Because sometimes I'll see some guy on Facebook all markered up, and I always wonder if it's him. And I sent one to Jen and said, is this you guys? And she says, no. That's some other guy.
Was he markered last year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was the year before he got picked up by some chick?
That, too.
That, too.
That was the year you were down there.
That was, yeah.
Yeah.
They were going to take over the 41st floor, get her to hurl, and see if he could atomize. By the time he hit
them. Yes.
Okay. Next year, I'm buying a little red dress and wearing red tennis shoes and wearing a red rose in my hair and going as Oswin.
There you go.
There you go.
Easy peasy.
Make it, yeah, that's have perfect a collapse souffle.
I'm thinking I might do Slender Man. Have you seen that game?
My sister's all about Slender Man. Yes. Scary.
I think I could pull that off.
You so could. Or a silence. You could be a silence. That would be
awesome more,
too.
That's more makeup-y stuff.
But still, that would be cool.
That would be cool. Yeah.
But, oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, if I don't have my Spartan armor finished,
you gotta promise me you gotta take a picture and send it to my sister.
Yeah,
she'd cry.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, you've got your doctor suit, and you could just get a nice suit and pair
of
some blue gloves and do
no,
the blue.
No,
hit.
He could just. Oh, you need a fedora, and just be an observer and just walk around.
Oh,
that would be brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why?
You.
Want another shot?
No.
Get the Adam and Christina show going on?
No. It's
you're
not as much fun
giggly
with you.
She didn't need alcohol for that.
No. Okay.
I can levelate the shit out of that.
I can't talk about you behind your back when you're here.
That's true. It'd be more in front of his back, wouldn't it?
Talk about Nick.
No, I like Nick.
So by inferring that, you mean you don't like me?
No, but like you understand my humor and he really doesn't.
I don't understand your humor. I just live with it.
No, you don't understand. You don't understand the things I think are funny. There's a difference.
Not quite all of them.
No.
Enough. Enough to make life compatible.
I like your little Green Lantern thumb drive.
Oh, shit. I forgot all about that. I'm sorry.
They have all the characters. They've got Batman and the Flash.
Really?
They're super cute. His little head comes off. I think he's an 8 gig. They have 4 gigs and 8 gigs.
He's like a little kitty.
Little kid in pajamas.
I know. That's what he says. Oh, yeah. A little kid in a onesie.
And his head pops off.
And his head comes off. It's new, so it's tight. But
I won't do it then.
No, it's okay.
Okay, but that's funny.
But yeah, and his head plugs into
look
the
at that
thing.
Look at that. This big head.
But he had, there's the Flash and Batman and something else. There's a few different ones. They had weird looking ones at, was it Office Max?
Yeah.
They had funny looking Staples ones. Yeah, or yeah. And but it wasn't cute. And I looked up to see what else there were. And like, he's
like taking a big old mouthful of jelly beans. Nom, 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 nom,
nom. Maybe the jelly beans will break me of my milk dud habit. I have a problem. I mean, I count them out, so I have a serving at a time, so it's not so bad, but still, I don't need to be eating them at all.
Actually, his head's the USB drive.
That's what I said.
Okay, that you said.
I said his little head comes off, and you plug his little head into the thing.
The memory's in his head. Makes sense?
Yeah, exactly.
So I was going to mention this in the show, but it's visual. Not that some things we do aren't, but so I was looking through all this artwork and all this stuff from back in the day when I was doing comic stuff, and I found this limited edition ash can that Eric and Stefan and I did back when we were trying to do our own comic book company. So it's a pretty neat little look into the past. Limited to 100, and I recognize my handwriting. I'm the one that had to write all the limited numbers on them.
Aww.
Yay.
If you want to look through that, pass
That's
it around.
Cool.
Pretty cool. I think it says where we did it for, but is it on the cover? Is it Chicago?
1995, best summer ever. The year I graduated high school. I could probably tell you all the movies that came out that summer. I was going to the movies all the time that summer because there was a movie theater right up the street from my house, and I used to walk Braveheart and Rob Roy and Pulp Fiction.
I've got Rob Roy on Laserdisc.
Oh, do you really?
I think so.
I shall think of you dead until my husband makes you so, and then I will think of you no more. I've never hated a fictional character as much as I hated Tim Roth in that movie. I hated him so bad. I loved Rob Roy so much that I was Mary McGregor that year for Halloween, and I made my poor, at the time, boyfriend dress like Rob Roy, and I made him a kilt and everything. Like, it was, I was OCD about that costume, too.
I remember I bought that on VHS for my mother and
so
stepfather.
So good.
I thought they'd like it.
I think I saw it at the movies 3 times. It was so good.
Pod Culture Geek Spin, Episode 0, has escaped for Friday, November 23rd, 2012. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the pilot episode of Pod Culture Geek Spin. I'm Brad, and I hope you enjoy this new show where music and geekery mix. Now, I know some of you are probably wondering, wait, isn't there already a podcast called Pod Culture? And didn't there used to be one called the Geek Spin? Yes and yes. The main show, Pod Culture, is still going strong, and my co-hosts and I over there just released our 350th episode. The Geek Spin, however, hasn't had a new episode in well over a year, so, yeah, I think it's safe to call that pod faded now. But I got to thinking, why not combine the best of both shows and launch a new podcast? Some quick, geeky, quirky topics combined with some fun music that might just make for a neat, shorter form show. I've got some great stuff recorded with my Pod Culture co-hosts, Glenn, Christina, and Adam, that I hope you like, and I would love to have some contributions from you folks as well in future shows. So let's kick this new show into gear, shall we? Coming up is an odd story we discussed during a break in recording for the main show about some possible UFO sightings here in Kentucky. After that, I've got a song called Ring Capacity by an awesome band called Kirby Crackle. And those that know me can guess why I love this song so much. And then a guest geeky spin from Brian from the British Invaders podcast. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice of Geeks Network. Ding! And regarding some costume changes for favorite characters. But first, it is getting to be the holiday season, and I could not let that go by without kicking things off with Black Friday by the great Luke Ski. especially considering the fact that this episode is coming out on Black Friday. Hey, I'm not getting out in that mess of wacky. I'll just stay right here and record a podcast.
Big Thanksgiving dinner, after quite the feast, watch a little football and some home movies. Bedtime comes for families, every mom and pop. Alarm goes off at 4 a.m. because it's time to shop. Winter coats and wool hats, just in case there's snow. O'er the river and through the woods, to Walmart we go. Soon we'll be invading, busting down the door, led by all the hardcores who camped out the night before. Black Friday!
Black Friday!
Oh, what a joyous day, when our consumer culture comes together, come what may. Black Friday!
Black Friday!
It brings us so much cheer, to help our nation's stores who have been in the red all year.
Excuse me, do you have any more of the exclusive Iron Man vs. Dora the Explorer playsets?
Whatever's out on the shelves is all we have.
You're lying! Grab his leg!
New Nintendo system, just $100. So who cares if grannies will get trampled in the rush? Survival of the fittest at the shopping mall. Let there be peace on earth.
Get your hands off that Elmo doll, it's mine!
Black Friday!
Black Friday!
Sing sports the local news. Because your love is measured by the items that you choose. Black Friday!
Black Friday!
At Toys R Us it's king. They never call it Black Friday around there, they call it green.
Give me that half-price key or I'll rip your fucking spleen out!
Relax! What are we all so worked up over anyway?
How am I supposed to know? Jesus Christ!
You know, one of the things I wanted to do with the rebooted Geek Spin is bring in some oddball stuff, some stuff that might be outside of the norm that I do on my other show with my pod culture friends.
On the fringe, you might say.
Yeah. So I have once again enlisted the crew to help me out here. And Glenn, you have something a little bizarre to talk about here.
Yeah, my wife actually told me about this going on. I had been busy and hadn't really noticed, you know, had my face in a video game as always and world going by.
I understand. Know.
But she said, I don't know if everybody's aware, but we're mainly based out of Kentucky here, and there have been a lot of UFO sightings in Kentucky in the last couple weeks, and I was not aware of that, but happened to stumble across an article talking about Pike County, Kentucky, UFO spotted by several people in Pike County, Kentucky. Apparently, a prolonged viewing as well. This particular article, the man saw it, got his binoculars, got a good look at it, and was like, wow, this is really something. And he happened to be an amateur astronomer and got his telescope out and shot pictures of this thing for like 2 hours.
Wow.
And it was just hovering there. From the pictures to me, it looked like a big crystal or something. The reason I say crystal, it was kind of, I don't know, cylindrical or whatever, but on the ends they look kind of pointed. And then a lot of the pictures had kind of like a rainbow.
The shimmery
shimmer
kind of,
coming
yeah.
off of it. Which made me think, you know, light reflecting, refracting through a crystal or something, you know.
Well, so like the crystals that Clark used in the fortress.
Yeah, like that. So it was probably Kryptonian then. Maybe it's a Superman, Man of Steel stunt, right?
Oh,
yeah, no.
I don't think
or
so.
Or being Pike County, it could be just fumes from meth labs and people were seeing meth crystals.
Meth crystals in the sky.
Methy in the sky with diamonds?
Get out of my head.
Meth in the sky. Sorry.
But, I mean, apparently people from large areas, lots of people calling in, seeing things, a lot of things over a long period of time. There were also a lot of people that were seeing more like round type craft, doing like formations.
Ooh.
And apparently there's a video out there. I haven't seen it myself yet, but apparently there's a video with what looks like some sort of like weird translucent Stargate kind of thing in the sky.
Huh.
Yeah. So kind of interesting.
Oh, shit,
kinda.
The gold are here.
Great. Yeah.
Great.
So who knows what all this is, you know, could, but with so many people seeing it, it's got to be something. It very well could be, you know, weather balloons.
Weather balloons,
or,
yeah. That's that's what at least came to my mind when I saw the, you know, the close-up pictures from the amateur astronomer. Mm-hmm. If you saw the Felix Baumgartner suborbital, you know, skydive thing from 24 miles up, his balloon had that... you know, once it had expanded and, you know, got to, you know, peak altitude, it had the that translucent, transparent canopy kind of thing over it that almost
shimmer.
Kind of had that same shimmer and that kind of same effect. But this thing in these pictures is a completely different shape.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
What day was this?
I'm not sure. This article was from the 24th.
Okay. Well, it was some atmospheric effect or something like that. It is really hard to say. But as far as UFOs go, we don't know. So it is an unidentified flying object.
Right.
Whether it's alien craft or not.
That's another story.
That's another story.
Right.
You know, but a lot of people hear UFO and go, oh, aliens. No.
No.
No. No, 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 no. It's a UFO. It's an unidentified flying object. A lot of people just... They're
to me,
separate
half the
things,
planes that fly over here are UFOs because I don't know what they're all called.
Yeah. Right.
You know? No, I know
planes.
They're all...
But it's a plane.
No, I know. But, you know, all the different kinds of planes, I don't know what they're all called. Cessnas and whatevers.
Jets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, this particular video that we're referring to is on YouTube under the title UFO Photographed Above Pike County. So you can search for it under that if you want to find this particular one that we're talking about. Like I said, there were lots of... photos and videos and of not only this UFO but other UFO activity which would be very different. I mean, even if this happened to be a weather balloon, what are the odds that there's also people seeing these round craft and that are doing weird geometric shape kind of formations in the sky and stuff like that? So there's definitely something weird going on, as usual.
Well, and I believe it because I've seen some. I've in particular, a few years ago, I saw something I could not explain in the sky, and I know my military craft. I know a lot of civilian craft. I know what airplanes and helicopters are capable of.
Mm-hmm.
This. Whatever I saw did not follow those rules. I'm a little hard pressed to call it aliens at all, but it was definitely something I just couldn't explain.
But you never know.
So you never know.
It's a big universe.
Yep. It's
It'd
a great
be
big universe.
Sad if we were the only ones here. It'd be awful.
All,
awful waste of space.
We're all really puny. Yeah. We're just tiny little specks
about the size of Mickey Rooney.
Yeah.
A young Mickey Rooney or an old Mickey Rooney?
Yeah. And either way, he's still one of the biggest guys.
No, I was just wondering, you know, because 10-13, October 13th is Chris Carter's birthday, creator of X-Files. Mm-hmm.
That's why it kept popping up all the damn time.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, thanks, Glenn, for sharing that. I know that's kind of your...
Oh, yeah. I'm a...
You're a nut about those kind of things.
Thanks, I'm a nut. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Nice,
you're
nuts. But I'm very interested in the paranormal in all aspects. I think mundane is boring. You're all a bunch of muggles.
I believe in ghosts.
Not you in particular.
Well, him in particular.
Okay. So, yeah, Monday's boring. I like looking at the paranormal.
Yeah.
The what if.
Not just one normal, a pair of them?
Then why not?
Hey, two, they're small.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks for joining me on another segment of the Geek Spin, and we'll see what kind of other geeky stuff we can find. Folks, if you've had an experience with the paranormal or your UFO, give us a call and let us know. Mm-hmm. And we will be back with more of the show right after this.
We don't get abducted.
They'll send us back. We'll be right back.
race. It seems I've yet to find my place. I'm guarding 2814. I don't know why it's chosen me, but from the corner of my eye I catch a glimpse of evil light. The fear tries to swallow me like I'm just some guy with an emerald. Everything. A purple man obsessed with me, so lost to the dark and it's now extinct. From any good it once possessed, pledged to the oath now laid to rest. No time for doubt, no quick eject, don't give in to fear like my father said.
This is Brian from British Invaders and sometimes from Milk Carton TV. I heard Brad's geeky spin talk about the new costume for Green Lantern and costume changes for characters that we know and love. And when I heard that, it made me think of a couple things. My first thought was, well, the show is like the new Green Lantern movie, and all of these big screen movies and new TV shows are going to be marketed to a wider audience, not just the fans. So this is something that is just going to happen and we should expect it. Well, that's true, but then my second thought was, not surprisingly, to think about Doctor Who. And back in the classic series of Doctor Who in the 60s and 70s and 80s, the Doctor always had an outlandish costume, whether it was old Edwardian-type outfits or a long scarf or a colorful coat, whatever it was something that was outlandish, and the Doctor was a character who could walk into any situation, and even with this bizarre, outlandish clothing, he could still work his way into the situation and become trusted. Well, in 2005, the new Doctor Who came on the air, and we had Christopher Eccleston as the Ninth Doctor, and he was wearing a black leather jacket and a fairly generic and simple type of outfit that was not outlandish at all. And I thought when I saw this, well, they missed it. This is not what the Doctor is like, and they didn't quite get the character right with the outfit and a few other things, but the outfit was definitely part of it. And at first, I was not too big on the new Doctor Who series and Eccleston as the Ninth Doctor, although the series and Eccleston both grew on me for sure. But when the Doctor regenerated and we had David Tennant as the Doctor, we went back to having a more outlandish type of outfit with the suit and the long coat matched up with these brightly colored sneakers. So there was that mismatch that gave you that sort of outlandish kind of thing. That was something that was really nice for some of us who are classic series fans for Doctor Who. So, Brad, I can certainly understand where you're coming from, that when you get the new version of the costume that just doesn't jive with what's come before it, it's not always something that you're looking forward to. But hopefully, as happened with Doctor Who, they can still make it into something that is enjoyable and still manages to fit well with what came before it.
That song was An Awful Lot of Running by Chameleon Circuit. Hey, since Brian brought up Doctor Who, figured I might as well include a song about everyone's favorite madman in a big blue box. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the pilot episode of Pod Culture Geek Spin. And if you have an idea for
any sort of geeky topic, it's a short form, send us an email to thegeekspin@podculture.net, or better yet, record it and send an MP3 to that same email address. Or you can even call the voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That is 812-672-4POD. And finally, please be sure to check out the sites of all the artists that were featured in the show. You can find The Great Luke Ski at thegreatlukeski.com. Kirby Crackle is at kirbycracklemusic.com. And Chameleon Circuit is at myspace.com/chameleoncircuitmusic. Catch you later, gang. I am out of here. Isn't there already a podcast, Podculture? Blah. I would love to have some contributions from you folks as well. Those that know me probably guess why I... Blah, blah. And I think I probably... Yeah, I totally screwed that up. Thanks for listening to this change of pace episode, guys, and hopefully we'll have the whole crew in for the next show. I'm out of here.
Theme music for Podculture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
If you want to reach us here at Podculture Central, there are many different ways.
You can email us, feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Podculture, equal opportunity geekness.